Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we've been thinking together and studying together from the New Testament epistle called the Epistle to the Galatians. This was Paul's first epistle. It was written to the four cities in Galatia that Paul had visited and evangelized on his first missionary journey. And these were the cities of Iconium, Antioch of Pisidia, and Derbe and Lystra. And these four cities were very important cities. They were key cities, in fact, in the Roman Empire. And Paul did a good work in these cities. He evangelized completely, and he had great success. Perhaps hundreds of people were saved in these four cities. And so the Apostle Paul could look back with great joy on the work that he had done there in these four cities. However, the problem that Paul left behind was that these Christians were not built up in the faith. Apparently, they professed to be true Christians, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they had never really been grounded in the essentials of the faith. In other words, the things that would help them stand against false teachers. And so Paul had to leave these cities, to be fair to him. He had to leave these cities very quickly sometimes because of intense persecution that would break out against him. And then he also had the problem of appointing leaders in each of the churches that were established. And again, the same problem existed. The leaders themselves were not trained in the things of the faith. And so he appointed leaders in chapter 14 of the book of Acts and left behind these churches hoping and praying that these churches would survive because he had to leave. So as Paul goes back to Antioch, he discovers from reports that reached him in Antioch that these churches had been invaded by false teachers. And this is the problem we face in the churches today. These churches had been invaded by false teachers. They were people, we call them Judaizers, who were trying to make Jewish people out of these Gentiles and the Jews in the new church. And so the Judaizers came into the churches very cleverly, and they were teaching that it was all right to have faith. There was nothing wrong with having faith in Christ, but with faith, they also needed to follow the law of Moses. The law of Moses would, first of all, perhaps help them be saved, or it would help them keep their salvation once they were saved, so they would not lose it if they sinned against God in some way. Or it would be the means by which they would live the Christian life. So one way or the other, they were teaching false teaching. And so Paul is having to write this epistle back to them very, very strongly and very, very firmly, asserting that these people have departed from the faith. In fact, he uses that very phrase, "You have departed from grace. You have fallen from grace." And so as the Apostle Paul is writing back to them, he's not able to go to them at this time. Actually, on his second missionary journey, about 2 years later, he will go back to Galatia again. But in 48 AD, when he first writes the book, he's not able to go back to them. And so he's having to write this very stern letter, praying that the churches in these four cities will read this letter and will heed it and will depart from the false teaching into which they have fallen and will follow the Lord with all their hearts, walking in the grace of God by faith. Now, in the first part of this lesson, we've come down now to the conclusion of the book, and perhaps there will only be two more lessons in this series of lessons on the book of Galatians. But in this first part, I want to go back with you for a few moments and review the teachings of this book. And it's very important that we understand the teachings of the book as we look at this book of Galatians. First of all, the Apostle Paul introduces the heresy itself. We find this in chapter 1, and the Apostle Paul introduces the heresy that they've fallen into, and he points out to them the error that they've fallen into, that this is not really the gospel at all. In other words, Paul had preached to them the true gospel. You're going to find this in the first few verses. He had preached to them the true gospel, and yet they have departed from the true gospel into a false gospel. Now, I want to emphasize this truth as I review this book with you. When you depart from the faith, you no longer have the faith. When you add to the faith or you take away from it, you no longer have the faith. In other words, when you have something else other than the original faith that God has given us, the original gospel that God has given us, and the means of salvation, you no longer have salvation at all. And this, of course, is also an error in our day. Many people believe that through their church, through the sacraments or the ordinances, we call them in our churches, through the sacraments or the ordinances of their church, that they can somehow be saved. Or they may pray to other people. They may come to Jesus, they say, yes, I believe in Jesus, many will tell me, but in addition to Jesus, they also pray to other people, and they believe that other people are also helping them go to heaven. And of course, this is a false gospel, absolutely a false gospel. Again, I say, when you add to or take away from the truth, you no longer have the truth. So the truth of the gospel is this, where the Lord Jesus himself stated it very, very clearly in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. In other words, he's excluding the church, he's excluding the sacraments, he's including other people whom people pray to and so forth. He is simply saying, I am the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is none other name under heaven given among men by which we might be saved. And again, I repeat that. There is none other name under heaven given among men by which we might be saved. And then again, you go back to the more familiar verses. You go back to John chapter 3, verse 16, where it's very clearly stated, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then John chapter 3, verse 36, which some of you have also perhaps memorized or have seen in your Bibles, He that hath the Son hath life. He that does not have the Son does not have life, but God's punishment rests on him. Now that phrase, he that has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. So it's very clear as you read through the Gospel of John and through the other books of the New Testament, it's very clear that there is only one means of salvation, only one means of knowing that you're going to go to heaven. It's not through people, it's not through a church, it's not through some observance in the church, such as the sacraments or the ordinances in our churches. It's only through Jesus that you can be saved. And so the Apostle Paul introduces the fact that they've departed from the true gospel. He said this is not the gospel at all. It's another gospel, he calls it, in chapter 1. And then he goes through chapters 1 and 2, and he gives his personal testimony. And Paul's testimony is worth being noted. The Apostle Paul had been a very, very devout Jewish person. He was a devout follower of the law. He describes himself as a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were the strictest followers of the law. In other words, they were people who knew every ordinance in the law, the hundreds of little ordinances and rules in the law, and they strictly followed those ordinances more than perhaps any other people in the nation of Israel. And Paul said, you know, he was a pure Jewish person. He had pure Jewish heritage, pure Jewish ancestry, and he had perfectly followed the law. In fact, he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. And yet the Apostle Paul had to come to realize this was not the way to heaven, because the law was never intended to save people from their sins. It was intended rather to show people their sinful need before God, their sinful condition, but never to save them from their sins. So the Apostle Paul had to realize this truth, that the law he had been following did not make him blameless before God. Even though he had tried to keep it perfectly, he still was a hopeless lost sinner before God. So the Apostle Paul, in Philippians 3, verses 7 to 9, says, What things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ, that I may win him, and so forth. And so then he talks about finding the righteousness which is of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone. So this was Paul's own experience as one who had followed the law in his previous life. So now in chapters 1 and chapter 2, the first part of chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is explaining his own personal testimony and how he had stood for this truth, the truth of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ alone, even against others who professed to be Christians but who still clung somewhat to the old law of Moses. So the Apostle Paul talked of his stand. And he also speaks in chapter 2 of the stand he took against Peter himself. Now, Peter was one of the original apostles. He was one of the favored ones. Peter, James, and John were the favored ones. And Peter was a man of high standing. Yet the Apostle Paul said in chapter 2, I withstood him to the face. apparently before other people, he had to rebuke him very sharply, because Peter was compromising by refusing to sit down with the Gentiles for fear that the Jewish people might criticize him. And so the Apostle Paul said, I withstood him to the face. And then in the last part of chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says that as far as he is concerned, whatever Peter wants to do, whether as far as Paul is concerned, he stands on the cross of Christ alone. In other words, he has put aside the law of Moses. He's put aside every other means he had ever depended upon for his salvation, for going to heaven. And now he says, I am crucified with Christ. I stand on the cross of Christ alone. This is in verse 20 of chapter 2. And so then in chapter 2, verse 21, he says, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ has died in vain. So this teaching is very, very clear in Paul's own experience that there never has been salvation through the law of Moses. There has never been salvation, and it's not, of course, the means by which we approach God and deal with the sin problem in our lives. And then in chapters 3 and 4, he goes into this in a very doctrinal way. In other words, he discusses this in a very deep way using a number of different illustrations in chapters 3 and 4 to show them they are no longer under the law. Now, let me make this very clear again. I've tried to do this in several of the lessons that I've taught you. And that is that the law did have its purpose. Its purpose was for the Jewish people to approach God and to realize their sinful condition before God. In other words, when they would come to God, they would come to him as lost sinners because the law showed them that. It showed them they were hopeless lost sinners before God. And so the Apostle Paul reviews this in these two chapters. He reviews this relationship that they had had with God, and it was a relationship based upon sinners coming before God needing their coming Messiah. And so the law showed them they were sinful, and then the sacrificial system would show them that there would someday be a Redeemer who would die on the cross for their sins. John had this to say in John 1:29, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In other words, repeating this, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He was emphasizing this wonderful truth that Jesus is God's final answer to the sin problem. All right, so in chapters 3 and 4, this is a stand that he takes. He gives a number of illustrations, and he points out that the law was in force until things would be fulfilled. In other words, until Christ died on the cross, the law would still lead them to believe and trust in this coming Messiah. But once he died, the purpose of the law had been fulfilled. And he uses this phrase again and again at the end of chapter 3 and then in chapter 4, this idea until. And so that now that faith has come, he says very clearly, we are no longer under the law. Now that faith has come, we're no longer under the teacher. That's the way he expresses it. Because he had said before that the law had been their teacher to bring them to Christ. Now, this leads me back again, before we review slightly further, this leads me back again to this truth. And that is that if you're depending upon anything else, if you're depending, for instance, on the law of Moses, this is very strong here in Guam. And I want to say that I respect people like this, but they're wrong. I believe they are wrong in their beliefs. And that is that if you're depending upon the law of Moses, either to add to your salvation or to help you keep it, or to help you live the Christian life, then you're living on false grounds. And this is very clear. If you just read and study books like Galatians or books like Romans chapter 3, verse 19, down to the end of chapter 7, which would be verse 25, if you just read and study God's Word, you can see this truth very clearly. So leave the teachings of man and go back to the Word of God itself. And very honestly and very sincerely before God, study the Word and admit where you might be wrong, and then come to the truth of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And the same is true if you're a very religious person, and Guam is filled with religious people. Guam, the United States, other countries are filled with religious people. But if you're a very religious person, but you have not come to Jesus alone to save you from your sins, if it's Jesus plus anything else or anyone else, then you're not going to go to heaven, because you don't compromise the truth of God. You have left the gospel, in other words, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've turned to a false faith of Jesus plus something else will take you to heaven. So then we come to chapter 5 and 6, and chapter 5 and 6 begin what we call the practical section. And in the last lesson, we finished the practical section of chapter 5 and 6, and we've come down to the conclusion. But in these two chapters, he is answering the very important question, if we don't follow the law of Moses, then what guide do we have? How can we live the Christian life if we don't follow a set of rules? If we don't follow these hundreds of ordinances and rules in the law of Moses. So in verse 16 of chapter 5, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, how can I escape the lust of the flesh? I walk in the Spirit. The Spirit will be my teacher. He will be my guide. He will be the one who empowers me to live the Christian life. This is brought out in Romans chapter 8, and I've mentioned this before, and I won't go into this with you again. But it's brought out in chapter 8 of Romans. The same truth is by the Spirit that we are born again, and it's by the Spirit we live the Christian life. And so this is a very quick review of the book. And so he goes down through now in chapter 5, and he points out this truth that the fruits of the Spirit are made manifest in our lives, and we walk by the Spirit, and we can escape the lusts of the flesh and the temptations of the world and live holy, pure lives before God. And then in chapter 6, he takes the practical side of how does this apply to our relationships. And I don't want to go into this with you again, but we talked about this before, the various relationships we have in life. And this is very important for us to understand, our relationships with other people, our relationships with the fallen brother, for instance, in chapter 6, verse 1. And so he goes through various relationships, and he shows how walking in the Spirit will apply to these various relationships. And now today, we've come down to the conclusion. And in the next lesson, I'll be taking that conclusion, and we will go through it a little bit slowly, but we'll try to complete it in the next lesson. So it's my prayer that those of you who have Bibles will open your Bibles and read your Bibles. In other words, you're going to hear from man false teachings. Men have various ideas about the truth of God. And I've learned not to listen to men. I've learned to listen to the Word of God. So even as you listen to the lessons that I've been sharing with you, I want you to understand these are taken directly from the Word of God, and you can confirm these by reading the Word of God yourselves. And just look at the Word of God, and you'll be able to confirm everything that I have said to you today, everything I've been saying in these dozens of lessons that we've been taking from the book of Galatians. And so just don't take my word for it. Open your Bibles and very carefully go through books like Galatians, books like Romans, books like Ephesians, books like even the Gospel of John. If you're sort of new in reading the Word of God, then go to the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John itself will explain the same truths that I've been sharing with you from the book of Galatians. So it's my prayer that rather than depending upon men and the words of men and the books of men and the writings of men, you'll go back to the Word of God itself, the Word that God gave once for all by inspiration to those who were following Him. And so this book, the Word of God, is very important for your lives, and if you've not opened it, open it now and begin to read it and study it and learn the truth and confirm the truth and then follow the truth. May the Lord help you, each one.